fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story. And that day mine changed.
Hello, Now Playing listeners. Stuart here with a very important message for this holiday season. Each year, our podcast celebrates the cinematic arts by exploring the joys and struggles of various film franchises. But as you know, some movie series aren't as lucky as the ones you like to watch. Their individual installments are plagued with unbelievable plot twists. They make unnecessary drama out of bird droppings landing in community pools or wind blowing through the trees. They leave their child stars out in the cold to flail in cloying, highly degrading moments of sentimentality. These movies need your love so badly. Won't you please help? With just a small donation to Now Playing, you can hear Jacob, Arnie, and myself give tough love and career guidance to the sad little films of M. Night Shyamalan. This week, we clean up the mess that Will and Jaden made in After Earth. Take a listen to a small clip of the show.
There's also a dead sister. Are there hints here at the beginning that I'm missing, or is that just something that isn't revealed until later flashbacks?
Through the 1,000 flashbacks about it throughout the film?
Yeah, it's M. Night teasing a mystery. You know he loves him, and so this is what it builds to, is that, yes, we'll see him triggered in moments of anger. This young Katai keeps thinking about a moment where, early on, it's hard to tell who's in the frame, but he's shoved as a child into what looks like a goldfish bowl, and we know that one of these monsters bust in, and eventually, we'll just go ahead and cut to it, because it's really not that great of a mystery, eventually we'll realize that he feels a lot of guilt about staying in the fishbowl, even though he's, what, like 5 years old, and going out there and not helping his sister die. He'll even have the argument later. What did you want me to do, Dad? Was I supposed to go out there and face it? And I guess the answer is an honorable death is better than the fishbowl.
I found it very odd that these aliens they're at war with do home invasions. That was the thing that blew my mind, because I thought we were at war. I thought there was a battlefield and we were fighting them back. Not that they were coming in and breaking into a... Did they know this was Ranger's house?
Ding dong! Landshark.
Oh no! Are you serious?
I don't know.
That's the only thing I'm like, why were they in his house? I can't figure this shit out.
And the reason why you can't is because this movie is not really about these aliens at all. The fact that there's a big alien mythology you don't understand, also a factor in Scientology. Most people that get on the bridge know that there's some indications of this, but they have to keep going to fully understand. So maybe be cool with the ambiguity, or yeah, you could find out what's really going on from the thousands and thousands of leaked documents and now television documentaries and what have you that expose it.
Thank you, Leah Remini. But the next thing I don't understand...
This is going to be a long show if we discuss everything we don't understand. Because every line of dialogue there for me.
It gets easier. But Will Smith is retiring, but he's going on one last... I don't even know. Is this a field trip?
I think it's training, because when we get on the ship, we'll find out that they have an Ursa in a cage, which just looks like an egg to me or something.
It looks like a barnacle, the way it's got like the little holes in it and things. I thought it was...
Yeah, it's very organic looking, and they're going to use that to train. I guess you don't mind if people die, or maybe they'll put it on a chain. So I took it as a training mission, and he's going to take Katai to bond with him over this 3 days before he retires.
Yeah, it said in one line of dialogue, you know, this is how Knight works, is that he's going to train people on ghosting. He's trying to leave a legend behind. So if he's the original ghost that knows how to shut down his fear and all other emotions, I wanted to say he didn't just turn off the tap with fear, like nothing. I'm giving you no joy, no pain, no nothing. I am a walking robot, but I'm going to train other people to be like this because this is how we should all strive to be. And yeah, yes, they're bringing the creature as a, I guess, you know, your final exam.
Okay. And so he takes Jaden along because he does want his son to be a ranger and be a better man. And that's why he's hauled off.
And there's something from the mom. You got a bond with your son. They had a fight at the dinner table.
Yeah, she guilts him into being a, you know, he's a bad dad. He wasn't there when the creatures attacked the house and the sister had to do it. So I think it reflects as much on him as it does on Jaden's character. But for contrived reasons, they're getting on a ship together to go and try and be closer, because that is what I believe Cypher wants. He wants to be close to his family. He's trying to not be so emotionally distant. He'll never try again throughout the film, but this is the effort. It's very irritating.
No, that is the crazy thing. I thought this was going to be about being able to have emotions, but still block the fear. That never comes up. You know what else never comes up? Moby Dick. Like, there's a whole subplot about Moby Dick in this film, which leads to like a hand job joke that Cypher makes to his daughter when she gets this Moby Dick book. But who's the great white whale in this film? In writing, when you drop something like a piece of literature, that's got to mean something and it's got to tie into the story. What does this have to do with Moby Dick?
Melville's story is commonly interpreted as being in the pursuit of an impossible quest, that you're obsessed with getting a whale that you'll never get, delusion. So it has a lot to do with what the Smiths are doing on screen. He's trying to make this kid a star who has no desire to do so. In that way, it feels very much in the tradition of Moby Dick. But no, I think it has a lot more to do with the reason why it's in the script, with environmentalism. We will find out the best joke of this film is that they're going to crash on the most inhospitable planet in the entire universe. And guess what? It's ours. It's the one that birthed human beings, Earth.
Again, I kind of hinted at this in my plot summary, but they just hit random coordinates to get the fuck out of a asteroid assault.
Because gravitons are building up that Cypher, who is, I'm just going to call him Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just puts his hand in the window and he's like, there's going to be an accident, guys. Let me go talk to the crew.
He doesn't have that much emotion in his voice, Jacob.
I know. I'm trying my best. Yeah. I didn't do the accent because I don't know how to do this accent that they were trained to do. But again, just have the ship crash. All this stuff about gravitons and asteroids, and now we got to go through a wormhole. It's needlessly complicated.
We're supposed to see he's more in tune with the universe and maybe how the ship works than how his family works. That's how I'm trying to read this character. But all of this is thoroughly unnecessary. When they finally crash on Earth, we're going to find out humans obviously haven't lived there for 1,000 years. And all of these creatures have evolved to kill even the whales.
Stop right there. No humans for 1,000 years, and all the animals have evolved to kill the humans that haven't been there for 1,000 years, and also evolution takes much longer than 1,000 years. What is going on in this film?
Well, evolution could have been sped up through mutation, through carcinogens and other things.
But there's no humans. How did they... He's like, everything is your enemy here. But they haven't seen humans for 1,000 years. There's nothing new. You think they'd actually be more docile and peaceful.
And I thought when he said everything is your enemy, it meant plants too. I literally thought everything was going to kill him.
The Happening all over again.
The Happening. You're still wanting that movie.
I didn't say I wanted it, Bob.
Such awful filmmaking, but you can make a difference. Ensure that all of Shyamalan's travesties receive much-needed holiday cheer when you head over to nowplayingpodcast.com, click the banner at the top of the page, and follow those instructions on how to become a gold-level donor. Your $30 contribution motivates our hosts to complete 11 podcast reviews of Knight's creatively malnourished thrillers, fairy tales, and horror movies. And as a special thank you, we will also include 5 additional podcasts covering the erratic genius of another noted genre filmmaker, Dario Argento. His Three Mothers trilogy contains a horror classic, Suspiria, as well as a forgotten middle child, Inferno, and much-hated Mother of Tears. You'll get all 3 of those shows, as well as a review of the 2018 Suspiria remake starring Tilda Swinton, and Phenomena, a movie that took away Jennifer Connelly's dignity and her finger. All 5 shows, that is our 2018 Silver Level series, will be bundled with the Shyamalan Gold Level shows when you pledge $30 or more to Now Playing this season. I speak for everyone here when I say thank you so much for letting us know that you care about ad-free, independently produced podcasting. Your contribution helps ensure that we can continue to provide free content on a weekly basis throughout 2019 and beyond. Much love, much gratitude. I'll talk with you soon.
Mission has reached abort criteria.
I take full responsibility. You did your best.
We have nothing more to prove. Now return to the ship.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
What do you think you should have done? Because really, that is all that matters. What do you think you should have done?
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
How often are you wrong?
My wife would give a very interesting answer to that question.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
Under penalty of law, do not attempt to land. Repeat, do not attempt to land.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the express written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
You want to die
today, that is fine, but you are not going to kill me.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Dad.
Yeah.
I want to work with Mom.
Me too.